Be here this morning. Wayne called me up and told me about Wayne's situation, how he was going to be on the Emmaus walk this morning, and how he needed somebody to fill in. And so he gave Wayne my cell number, my phone number, and he called me, and he told me about the church and everything, and told me about his little adventure on the Emmaus walk. I've heard about it, never been a part of it myself, but it does sound like a very intense just a time with the Lord, and that you know, a lot of us need that in today's society. His wife told me a while ago that he's having cell phone rehab. I tell you, a lot more of us need that. I know I do. You don't have your phone, it becomes everything. You know, it becomes your calculator, it becomes your calendar, it becomes this, it becomes that. And a lot of times we need a little more alone time with the Lord, and let all the distractions of the world just fly on by, you know. And but he called me up and he told me that he was going to need somebody to fill in, and I gladly accepted. And I just tell you, I love the Lord, and I love what He's done for me, and I'm glad He saved my soul. You know, I ain't no different than anybody else just because I'm up here. I know the Lord, and I'm glad that He's allowed me to do what He's allowing me to do by singing and preaching His Word the best way I know how. I'm not no professional, not anything like that. I just try my best to follow the Spirit of the Lord. And, you know, as I was sitting there studying, I was thinking I was going to go to Sunday school this morning, but it was just on my heart to study just a little bit more. And as they was up here singing, I began to listen and begin, you know, hear things and hear the song leading. But one thing stuck out to me, and I tell you what, it just gave me a little bit of peace. And that's when I think this young lady was named Heaven over here. She had said, she was talking to the sound director back there, and she said, you know, I'm worried about this test that I've got to take. She says, I know it back and forth, but I still feel like I've got to study. She said, the teacher just told her just to show up and take the test, she'll be fine. And she's like, well, I need my book, I need to study. And he said, no, you don't, just show up, you'll be fine. And sometimes I feel that way with the Lord. Lord, I need to study a little more. Lord, I need to dig a little deeper. And Lord sometimes says, you know what, you'll be fine. Just let my Spirit lead. Just let my Spirit guide you. And buddy, that was such a comfort to me this morning. I really enjoyed that. That's something to help me go this morning. But if you got your Bibles, come with me and turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. I've had this scripture on my heart for about 2 weeks. Didn't know where I was going to preach it at, and this is all I've got. And I've not given the sound director back there the scriptures. He asked me for them this morning if it had any, and I said, well, it's not finalized yet. I said, the Lord can change it, you know, and the work, I need to make sure if this is what the Lord wants me to preach on, and this is all He's given me, and I'm going to do my best to just give it to you like the Lord's given it to me. Let's pray for me. Bible says in 2 Kings, it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it, hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. Elisha took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they had gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. It came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared unto a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elisha went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father," and the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back, and stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell upon him, and he smote the waters. And he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" When he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." They came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. That's as far as I'm going to read. Join me, if you will, in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today. God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here. Lord, we stand knowing, dear God, Lord, that you're with us, Lord, and that you're holding us by the hand today. You never failed us. You never left us, Lord. Or what you called us to do, you're faithful to perform that thing, Lord, in Christ Jesus. We pray today that you'll just help the word to go out, Lord, that you'll just help the people that are here to be encouraged, Lord. Lord, if there be any lost today, Lord, dear God, that they be able to make their hearts right with you, Lord, and be able to know that when they leave this world, Lord, dear God, when they go into eternity, Lord, God, that everything is okay between them and you, God. We pray today, Lord, that you'll use us for your purpose according to your will this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about two men. One's named Elijah and one named Elisha. And these always are big tongue twisters because they sound so much alike, but these were two very different people. We find Elisha is mentioned here in chapter 2, but if you'll go back a few pages, you'll find that he met him a little earlier on in the first book of Kings. And he was with him, I think it was around chapter 19 or 20 when they had first ran into each other. And so from that point until this point, Elisha has been with him the whole time, even though it doesn't mention him. He is one of his servants now. Elisha is one of the servants and kind of the student of Elijah. It's kind of like a student-mentor relationship here. And we find here that Elijah is beginning to go on a journey here, and he wants Elisha to go with him. We find that Elijah here said that it came to pass that the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. We find there that Elijah was telling Elisha several times here to tarry here while the Lord has called me to go to this place or to that place. And every time Elisha answered back, he said, "I am not going to leave thee. I'm going to go with you all the way." We find here that Elisha was a faithful servant here. He wanted more of Christ. Well, not Christ, but he wanted more of the Spirit of the Lord. And he wanted more of what Elijah had. See, Elijah was a man that was great in the Lord. Amen. He caused the rain to shut up for so many years, and he had commanded the rain to come back. Hey, and on the top of Mount Carmel over there in around 1 Kings chapter 18, hey, we find where he had went against the 450 prophets of Baal. Hey, and he told them to get 12 barrels full of water and pour them around the altar there. Hey, and he said, "The God that answers by fire, let him be God." Hey, and I'll tell you what right now, the Lord answered by fire while the prophets of Baal stood by him. Tried to get and call on their God, tried to get him to come down. Hey, they cut themselves. They tried everything they could to get their God to answer. Hey, but it was the God of heaven, amen, that answered today. Hey, and today, if you need something in your life this morning, it's the God of heaven that's going to get the job done. Amen. Oh, I tell you what, Elijah said here to Elisha so many times, "You need to stay here while I go over there." Sometimes that's a test of the Lord, as we find here. Elijah was going to go over to Bethel. I want you to notice the three things that stuck out for me the most. Hey, was the locations of the places where he was going to take him. First, he tells him to go to Bethel. If you got your Bibles and want to turn with me, you can find what Bethel is all about in Genesis chapter 28. We find that Bethel is where Jacob was beginning to lay down and take some stones for a pillow and begin to lay down on the ground there. As he was trying to make his journey and trying to fulfill the promise that God had made to Abraham and Isaac, his fathers, and his grandfathers, forefathers, we find that Jacob is all alone. He has forsaken his brother Esau. He took his birthright that was sold to him, and he took it for his own. He deceived his brother and deceived his father, and now he's all by himself out there wandering alone. Amen. He finds Rachel. Amen, and he talks to Rachel a little bit later on in the next chapter, 29, but right now he is by himself. Amen, and Bethel is the place where Jacob had a vision of the Lord. If you'll read with me in chapter 28 of Genesis, Amen. It said in verse 10, Jacob went out from Beersheba and dwelt and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. Behold, the Lord stood above it, and he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham. I am. That's the name for God. He used it for Moses. He said, go down and tell Pharaoh that I am that I am. He said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, to the north, and to the south. And there in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And listen to this verse. I've got it highlighted in my Bible. And behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. He said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. You see, Bethel means house of God. This was where God met with Jacob and told him of the promise that he was going to fulfill. That came through his father Abraham and his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. And Jacob here, he said, he vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. This place called Bethel, to me, when I look at this, I think this represents to me a place of promise. Elijah wanted to take Elisha, first of all, to a place of promise. To where God's provision was. To where God had promised Isaac and Jacob and Abraham the land that was going to be given to them. And we find that that later on, as they went on in Joshua, they went and conquered that land. And it was fulfilled what God had promised. And Elijah wanted to take him to this place. God was calling him back to this place and saying, you know, I have a promise here for you and my people, and I don't want you to forget about it. Hey, and he told Elisha just to tarry over here for a little while because God has sent me over here. Elisha said, no, I want some of that. I want some of that promise. I want some of that power with the Lord. He said, I'm going to go with you. I'm not going to leave you. You're not going to be out of my sight. I'm going to go all the way with you. And it said when he got there, verse 3 of chapter 2 of 2 Kings, where we're at, when he got there, the sons of the prophets of that city, of Bethel, came out to meet him. And they began to say things like, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Boys, isn't it something that whenever time God wants to lead us somewhere, amen, the devil's right there in front of us to try to keep us from it. Amen. These were the sons of the prophets, not the prophets themselves. Amen. Just because you've got a daddy that got saved doesn't mean that when you become born, you're saved too. Amen. I tell you what, the sons of the prophets didn't say that they were holy. Hey, they had been associated with some of the men that were prophets. It doesn't mean that they were of God. Amen. And I picture these people as people that represents the devil in time of tribulation. Just when there's a promise on the other side, just when you're about to go to where God's leading you, here comes the devil and say, don't you know what kind of persecution you're going to go through? Hey, don't you know what kind of tribulations are waiting for you out there in the battlefield? Hey, don't you know that ain't a bed of roses and you'll have to give up some things? Hey, you'll have to go with the Lord and He may not make it easy on you. Elisha didn't complain. He didn't wring his snot rag and begin to complain and worry. He said, I know all these things, but I'm going forward.
Amen.
Amen. Today, so many of us today as Christians are weak.
Hey, we don't pick up the Bible from Sunday to Sunday. We just lay it on the pew and think that's going to be all there is to it. Hey, and think that we can get through the week in our lives like that. I tell you, the lives are so, seem so busy nowadays. Hey, that you can't get nowhere. Hey, without some kind of distraction. We talked about that earlier. A cell phone going off, or a Facebook notification, or this, or that. All kinds of things to distract us from the Lord and from the things, hey, that He wants us to receive. But it's only when we stand firm, like Elisha did, and say, I know these things, but I'm going forward and claim what God says is mine, that we be able to inherit those promises. He was taken into a place of promise. But then we find persecution, hey, and all kinds of adversary came along and tried to discourage him from that. And he stood his ground. And that's when we think we've got the victory. But just wait just a minute. We're going to find that happens again. He says in verse 4, after he says, I know it, hold you peace. They get to Bethel. And he says, Elijah, in verse 4, said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. For the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Preacher, what's Jericho got to do with anything? Turn with me to Joshua chapter 6 and you'll find out. Bethel was a place of promise. Amen. Jericho was a place, I'll tell you what it represents to me here in just a minute. But we most of the time of us don't know about Bethel as much as we do about Jericho. Hey, in Joshua, Jericho was when they was about to go, they would just come out of the wilderness, and they was about to go claim what the Lord had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the promised land in Canaan over there. But there was a big wall that stood between them and what God had promised them. And this was the wall that they had built in Jericho to keep out the Israelites. They had heard from many places that God was with these people, and they didn't want them coming in and invading and taking over. We find in chapter 6 of Joshua, verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor, and you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. So 6 days, they come up and they go round the city, the whole city, one time. Then they go back home. And they do this for 6 days. But notice this, there's a little difference here. Verse 4, the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and in the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. This kind of confused me a little bit, because 7 day is always associated with the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do any work. But this wasn't work they were doing. They were going out to conquer. Amen. The Lord told him this is what's going to happen. And he says, and it shall come to pass when they shall make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. The wall of the city shall fall down flat. The people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. He said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. It came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark. They were surrounded, they were guarded on both sides. Came after the ark, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Joshua commanded the people, this is important, commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. They did this one time, and then they went back to camp. And Joshua arose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually, and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the real ward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with trumpets. And on the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp. So they did so 6 days.
came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. It came to pass at the seven times, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. The city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." You can find that reading on a few chapters before this. "And ye and any wise shall keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. And when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it." Skip on down to verse 20. "So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass that the people heard the sound of the trumpet. The people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, and every man straight before him, and they took the city." I want you to notice something here. Joshua told them they're not allowed to shout, they're not allowed to say a word until they get done, until Joshua says you're about to shout. Why is that? I believe it's because in the wilderness they murmured and complained for 40 years. And if they wanted something to show for it, God was putting them to the test. And He was saying, "You know what, if you really trust me this time, I want you to keep your silence." He told them before they even crossed the Red Sea, "Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord." In effect, He was kind of telling the same thing here. Hold your peace. I'm going to do a great work here. If you'll just obey and you'll just trust. There's an old hymn that says, "Trust and obey." And that's what Elisha was telling the sons of the prophets. Hold your peace. He was trusting the Lord to do a great thing for him. If Bethel is a place of the promise, then to me, Jericho is a place of victory. Amen. We find that Elijah was going to Bethel. God had called him to Bethel and wanted to remind him of the promise. And when they got there, the sons of the prophets tried to take and discourage them from that. And Elisha stood his ground and he said, "Hold your peace. I know about it. I'm going to trust the Lord." And we find Elisha says, "You know what? You wait right here. The Lord's called me to Jericho." And Elisha took up and he said, "No, I'm going with you." We find as we read on down there, that the same prophet, not the same ones, but more sons of the prophets that were in that city came unto them. You see, whenever you got something to do for the Lord, whenever He calls you to something, amen, the devil could be there and he could be wherever you go the next time. Amen. And most of the time, the battle that you go through ain't going to be just a one-time thing. Amen. They went out of Bethel and went to Jericho, and guess what? The devil was there too. God wants us to do things for Him, but a lot of times we listen to the devil instead of what God tells us to do. Amen. We listen to what that old dragon, that old serpent, four-tongued serpent, tries to tell us. Hey, that's what happened in the Garden of Eden there when God had told them not to eat of the tree. Hey, and guess what? The old serpent was there, and he began to talk things to Eve and began to persuade her to take of that tree, saying, "You know what? You shall not surely die." Hey, but guess what happened? Death was pronounced upon mankind because of that act. We find here that they go into Jericho and they pass the city seven times, just as they said. They didn't say a word when it was time to shout. Buddy, I tell you what, if you had stood 7 days and not been able to say a word, you think you'd be ready to shout after that? You'd be ready to get it all out. Boy, they was ready. They was pumped up. Hey, they was probably waiting. Boy, this is the sixth time around. Hey, I'm going around this thing another time. We've already went here 6 days going around this old city. I'm about tired of it. I'm ready for something to happen. I'm doing my best to try to follow the Lord, but I don't see nothing going on. I've been going around this old city for I don't know how many days now. Hey, I can't even say a word, can't speak. I'm just going to keep going, keep going, keep going. Hey, and then all of a sudden, Joshua gives a command, "Shout! Hey, for the city is yours and God's given it to you." Don't you know there was arose a great shout in such a land? Hey, that's never been heard before. Hey, and all of a sudden the walls fell down flat. That's the kind of God that we serve. Hey, that's the kind of power that we have with the Lord. Hey, because see, if we just follow Him, He'll make the victory. Amen. There's an old hymnal that they sung this morning, "Washed in the Blood of the Lamb." Hey, there's another old song that says, "Victory in Jesus." Hey, I heard an old story. Hey, that Savior who came for glory and He bled and died on Calvary to save a wretch like me. You see, every time. Hey, thank the Lord. Every time
Hey, that a sinner comes up that aisle and gets down on their face and cries out to the Lord. Hey, they may have been going around in their life circles. Hey, and not finding no way to get out. But every time that one comes down and gives his life to the Lord, that's the victory, amen. Hey, that I'm talking about that Christ won on Calvary. That's the victory today that He won and paid and bought for you and me.
Amen.
That's what kind of God we serve. And that's what He told Elisha. He said, "You tarry here, I'm going to go get some victory." And Elisha said, "No way, sir. I'm going to get some of that victory too. I'm going to follow you." Hey, but then the sons of the prophets came out, and guess what? The devil told them the same thing. "Hey, you know that your master's going to be taken away from you today?" Elisha stood his ground and said, "You know what? I know it. You hold your peace." What did Jesus tell Peter there? He said, "Get behind me, Satan." Amen. The Bible says in James over there, I think it's chapter 4, verse 7. Verse that you need to remember. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore to the Lord. Resist the devil, and he will flee." A lot of people going around trying to resist the devil, not submit to the Lord. It don't work that way. That submission comes before the devil flees. Amen. If we want to see victory in our life, we've got to submit to the Lord. And if He tells us to go dip 7 times in Jordan over there like He did Naaman, we better go dip 7 times. Hey, if He tells us to go around the city one more time and say, "Go to church a little bit longer. Hey, something's about to happen." Hey, we better be ready to do whatever God tells us to do if we want victory in life. Amen. Joshua is where I go a lot of times. It talks about success. Amen. Joshua 1:8 tells us that you meditate in the law day and night. Hey, it's going to be in your mouth day and night. And then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. That's in business. That's in Christian walk with the Lord. That's in any. That's in marriage. That's in home life. That's in everything. Education. Whatever you think of. It takes the Lord to have success. He's the one that created this earth. He knows every nook and cranny. Amen. He's the one that said, "I give you the power to get wealth." Amen. It's all through Him. It ain't my job. It ain't your job. It ain't the government that supplies our needs. It said that God supplied my need according to His riches and glory. You know, the United States is trillions of dollars in debt. We're not a rich nation anymore. But I tell you what, God is not dead. Amen. He is not in debt. He is rich and He owns 1,000 hills and He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns it all.
Amen.
Yet we'll turn to what we've always had. And that's why we always get what we've always had. Amen. But I tell you what, that's kind of getting off topic here. Let's go back here and try to wrap this up. Hey, the next place they come to is a place called Jordan. I want you to notice something. They're kind of backtracking where they went. I begin to look at this on the maps and kind of follow along geographically. When they got out of the wilderness back in Joshua, they were on this side of the Jordan, right? Okay, here's Jordan River, and guess what? They get ready to cross it, and they go into Canaan's land, which was Jericho. And then past that, you find Bethel. And then past that, you find some other cities where they were going from. But now they're turning around and going the other way. They're going from Bethel, and they come to Jericho. And guess what? They're about to cross Jordan again. On the other side of Jordan, this side, is where the wilderness was. But I want you to notice something else. If you go to Numbers 35, you'll find that they established 6 cities of refuge. 3 of them were on this side of the Jordan, where they're about to cross right now. And I want you to know, if you want to learn about Jordan, you can go back over to Joshua chapter 1. I'm not going to go there right now. But if you want to read about it, where they crossed Jordan, Joshua commanded it to be crossed. The priests bear the ark past the river Jordan, just like they did around the city. Before they even got to the city, they came and crossed Jericho. Hey, and as they was going, they took 12 stones out of that river that they had just crossed as a memorial for God delivering them. And I want you to notice something. I believe when Elisha and Elijah got to Jordan, them 7 stones were right there on this side of Jordan, encouraging them every step of the way. You come this far, hey, don't you quit right now. You know, God has a way of doing that. Sometimes we feel like we're so down and out. Hey, then God will show something on the scene. Hey, He'll remind us of some victory we've had in the past. He'll remind us of some promise that He gave us. And He says, go on just a little bit longer. I look to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, where it says He was in the garden. And it said He went a little further. He went a little further for me. Amen. That just makes me want to go all the more a little bit further for Him. And see what's... I don't know about you, but for me, a lot of it is curiosity. Sometimes when I get down in the dumps and I think, Lord, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what's going to come of this situation. I've been going around the city how many times? Hey, but then all of a sudden something gets in my heart and stirs me up and makes me think, what if I quit? What am I going to miss? What's just around that next corner that I'm about to turn? What's just around that next bend that's on the horizon over there? I can see it. I can almost taste victory, and I've come too far. Hate to give up and go back. And that's what eggs me on. That's what tells me to stay in the fight. Amen. Elijah had went to Bethel. He had went to Jericho. And he had already come too far. And guess what happened? The sons of the prophets were there, but they were silent. Didn't speak a word. Just like Daniel in the den of lions, God shut their mouths. Amen. Today, and there's a time in life where God has got you so far and you went so far that God, hey, will lift up his hand. And you just like Job, he'll tell the devil just how far he can go and where to stop. And he told the devil he could take so much, but leave this part alone. And then later on he said, you can take this part, but leave this part alone. But I tell you what, here, the sons couldn't say a word against Elisha now because he'd come too far and God stopped their mouths. They said that 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood a view afar off. They were far away because now was a crossroads. They were about to cross old Jordan. Amen. Jordan was what stood between the Israelites and the promised land. Just like the Red Sea stood between Egypt and the wilderness and on the way to the promised land. It was a crossroads, and here Elisha comes before Elijah. And Elijah tells you to stay on this side and I'm going to go over here. And Elisha says, no, I'm going to go with you even all the way. And said they too went. And the 50 sons had to stay and view afar off, couldn't say a word. And we find that Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together. That was his robe. He wrapped it together and he smote the waters and they were divided hither and thither. So that they too went over on dry ground. This had happened once before, like I said, Joshua. Here they're leaving the stones behind and they're about to cross back over Jordan. Going the opposite direction of the promised land. They're backtracking. They're about to go over to the city of refuge. You see, when you got to the city of refuge, hey, the old enemy couldn't do anything with you anymore. Hey, you were in security with the Lord. You were in the place where God, hey, had held you in His hands and said that the Avenger of blood couldn't touch you there. Elisha knew that, hey, if he just crossed Jordan, that God would be right there and that the devil, the sons of the prophets, wouldn't bother him no more. They went over on dry ground, and now that he has accomplished what God has sent him to do, now the reward comes. He said in verse 9, it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Because back in verse 1 we said it came to pass that it would come time for the Lord to take Elijah up by a whirlwind. And he said, before I leave this place, you ask what you will and it will be given to you. He said, Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit come upon me, be upon me. And what he tells him, he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. I'm going to tell you why here just a minute. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am up, when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. But Elisha saw it. And that was the prerequisite right there. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, my father. And it says, after he cried that, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and took hold of his own clothes and rent them in pieces. That was a sign of extreme anguish and sorrow. That's what Job did. He rent his clothes and he sat in sackcloth and ashes. That's what David did when he lost the son that God had told him he would take away from him. His clothes were rent as a sign of extreme anguish and pain and sorrow. But he noticed this. He didn't stop there. Amen. It said he took up the mantle that was Elisha's. Elisha cast it aside when he was taken up and he took up that mantle. That sign of passing the torch, so to speak. He took it up. And he said he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And now he's putting God to the test. Lord, I asked for a double portion. And he gets to the bank of Jordan. Because right now is as far as he needed to go. Now it's time to go back and do the works of the Lord. He had to get him off by himself. He had to get him where he could use him. A lot of times me and you today are so wrapped up in the cares of life that we don't know that we need to spend a little alone time with the Lord so He can use us and talk to us.
You see, when Elijah, we're talking about Elijah here, after he defeated the prophets of Baal, hey, it says that Jezebel pronounced, pronounced a bounty on his head. And said, hey, what you did to my prophets, I'm going to do to you. And the power that Elijah had all of a sudden was gone. And fear overtook him, and he went to a mountain inside a cave and began to dwell there. And God found him there, folks. Hey, I don't care where you're at. God knows where you're at. He knows what your situation is. Hey, he found him in that old cave. And he said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Hey, this mighty man that was God, that Elijah wanted a double portion of, was human just like me and you. He wasn't superhuman. He wasn't no big extreme person. He felt the same passions that me and you do. And the same temptations that me and you do. He went to that cave and God said, what are you doing here? He said, Lord, they've slain all the prophets. They've killed every one of them. I'm the only one left. Well, sometimes it's easy as a Christian to feel like you're the only one. Amen. To feel like nobody else in the world could understand what you're going through. A lot of times the devil uses that. You know, here we are in a church. Don't tell how many people go here regularly. But I want you to look across at all the people here. I mean, the place is not filled up. But I tell you what, if you've got problems, there's a brother that you can call on. There's a sister you can call on. Hey, there's a pastor you can call on. There's so many people here that the devil blinds us to. Hey, that we've got strength to draw from in each other. But he was all alone. He said, Lord, they killed everybody and I'm the only one left. And all of a sudden, he heard there was an earthquake appeared. But God wasn't in the earthquake. There was a fire that appeared. God wasn't in the fire. There's a great wind, if I'm not mistaken, that appeared. God wasn't in none of those things. Chaos all around us, folks, and no wonder we can't hear the Lord. But after all these things was gone, he finally said that there was a still, small voice. Probably like a whisper. But it's loud enough for Elijah to hear it. And that's when he asked him, what are you doing here? And Elijah said, I'm all alone, but God rebuked him. He said, you know, I've got I always get this mixed up, it's either 700 or 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. In other words, you're not alone. Get up off your pity party and get out there and fight the good fight. Because you're not alone. Not only are those men with you, but I'm with you. And he's the God of all battles. Amen. Hey, we find that Elijah here wanted a double portion of the Lord. The spirit that Elijah had. I want you to look. I begin to look at that. And I'm trying my best to come to a close. But over in Deuteronomy it says about the double portion. I begin to think about this. I've always heard in the Bible where it talks about this double portion. They kind of just leave it at that. But I want you to understand where that comes from. Deuteronomy, amen, chapter 21. It says over here in verse 15, if a man has two wives and one beloved, and the other hated, and they had borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and the firstborn son be hers that was hated. Deuteronomy 21:16. Then it shall be, when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength, and the right of firstborn is his. You see, it wasn't up to Elijah to give the firstborn's portion to Elisha. That's why he said, you've asked me a hard thing. Amen, because he's not the father. God is the father. It's the father's duty to distribute the firstborn and the double portion. Hey, but I believe when Elisha was taken up by a whirlwind, he pleaded with God. He said, this man desires a double portion. I tell you what, give him the double portion. I'm no longer needed. You give to him what was mine. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but I almost believe that's just about how it went down. And all of a sudden, he comes to the crossroads in Jordan. Elisha does. He's got the mantle. He's got the flame that's been passed, the torch. Hey, and he looks at the River Jordan in verse 14 of Deuteronomy 2. He says, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? That's his way of saying, are you going to come through for me, Lord? I asked for a double portion. Elijah said, if I saw when he was taken away that I could have that, where is that promise at? Hey, that we went and found in Bethel. Where is that victory at that we went and found in Jericho? Amen. He says, "Where is the Lord God Elijah?" And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. I want you to notice the 50 sons that were there viewing from afar off. They couldn't really say much of anything else except, "Look, the spirit of Elijah dwells on this man." Amen. They changed their tune all of a sudden because of that. And I'll tell you what, this wraps us up in just one little thing. And when I was reading this, I began to think, Lord, how does this relate to us as Christians? Amen. The Bible tells me that I am a joint heir with Christ. Amen. Christ is the firstborn. He is the Son of God. But I want you to notice, just like Elijah, if you go to Acts chapter 1 real quick, and then we'll go ahead and close after this little scripture here. Hey, Acts chapter 1, it says, in verse 4, it says, "Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." That's the double portion. Amen. He said, "Elijah, I want a double portion of your, not your wealth. Amen. Not the inheritance that you have laid up somewhere. I want your spirit." It was the spirit that was the promise of the Father. This is the portion of the firstborn. And now Jesus is about to go away. He says, "But when I leave, I will not leave you comfortless. Amen. I will send the Comforter." Amen. That's the in my opinion, that's the double portion right there. Amen. If I'm a joint heir with Christ, then I am part of that firstborn. I'm part of that line. I'm part of that inheritance. And now Christ, just like Elisha, goes away. And now the double portion comes down. Because it says here in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." What did Elijah have that Elisha wanted? He had power with God. He had power such that no one had ever heard of in those kind of times. He shut up the heavens, it rained not. He prayed that the heavens be opened, it began to rain. He called down fire from heaven on the 450 prophets of Baal. Many other things he did, if you'll read about it. Elisha saw that and he wanted it. He went to the Jordan, he began to cross it, and guess what he did? He parted it hither and thither. He had power, and that was evidence that he had been heard from the Father. Amen. And the Holy Ghost here is evidence that you've been born again. Amen. That you received that promise of the Father, that you received that victory that was in Jericho. Amen. Hey, and there's going to come a time in your life that you're just like Elisha had. There's going to be a crossroad just like old Jordan was. And you're going to have to make the choice. Am I going to cross it or not? Am I going to go and give my life to the Lord? Or am I going to live the way things always have been and keep getting worse and worse and worse? See, the double portion is only given to the firstborn. It's only part of the family. And if you're not part of the family, then you don't have that inheritance. You don't have that promise. Amen. The Holy Ghost came. And Acts chapter 2, we read on, that double portion came down and they spake with cloven tongues of fire. That was the evidence that God had heard them and been with them. That's evidence today that we're saved by grace. It's the Holy Ghost dwells within us because that is His Spirit. The Bible says in Romans that if we have not the Spirit, we are none of His. And that's what it means to be sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. It's not that we're never going to commit a sin ever again. A lot of people misunderstand that. A seal is something that comes straight from the king. When they sealed something, that meant that represents me. I acknowledge that that's coming from me. And that seal of the Holy Ghost, when it comes in our hearts, is God's way of saying, "You're mine." And the devil knows you're mine. And because of that, he knows his time's short. We read in Revelation, he says he knows his time's short. But today we face all kinds of persecution, all kinds of trials and tribulations. Amen. Because we worship the Lord, because we serve Him. We go out those doors today and there'll be a world just like the sons of the prophets here saying, "You know, God's not coming through for you. This world's gone bad the way it always has. But what's in your heart if you're a Christian? There's a promise. There's victory there. There's something egging you on to say, go a little further. I tell you what, I'm going to ask them to go ahead and come get a song. They got an invitation song that's going to come prepared. I've given you what the Lord's given me, the best of my ability. And I hope today that everyone takes this message to heart, that it makes you more than a conqueror, because the same Spirit that the apostles had in Acts chapter 2 is the same Spirit that me and you and I have inherited today as the double portion, the right of the firstborn that Christ left with us until He comes to take His bride home. If you have a need, if you have anything in your life that's telling you, I need to cross that Jordan, I need to cross that crossroads, and I invite you to come and give it over all to the Lord.